All right, well, I'm going to pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, first of all, we thank you for eternal life and eternal salvation, Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you show upon us daily. We thank you for your patience, Father. We thank you for your guidance and your direction. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, and we thank you for your word. Father, right now we pray that you take me out of the picture, Father, and may it be you, Father, that ministers unto all of us here, Father. May we learn today, Father, from your word, and may we apply it today, Father, in our every single day, in our everyday life, Father God, and just lift up the boatmen once again in prayer, Father, that you bless them with a safe trip, Father, and that you bring them back home safely, Father, along as well with all those who are traveling today, for those who are sick, Father, who will not be able to make it, just pray that you keep them under your hedge of protection, Father God. And just please bless us with the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, discernment, and revelation that we need today, Father God. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I remember time back. I don't remember quite when, but Pastor Brian was giving a sermon, and it's just when he talked about thy rod and thy staff, right? And when you read Psalms 23, it specifically, I mean, if you read the scriptures and you study, it's just telling you that, well, the Lord is my shepherd is the title, and that we should follow the Lord, right? And I go back, David was the one that wrote the scripture, so I go back to why David had wrote the scripture, what he was going through, and, you know, the things that he had been through in his life, and how he still continued to faithfully obey and follow the Lord no matter what his eyes saw, no matter the obstacles that he was going through. He just continued to trust fully in the Lord and let the Lord guide him and direct him. And David was first mentioned in 1 Samuel 13:14, and David was described as a man after the Lord's own heart. So the Lord blessed him and commanded him to be captain over his people. And this he was telling Saul because Saul had disobeyed the Lord. And so this scripture tells us that David followed the Lord, and that this scripture describes David was a man after his own heart. We will learn from David's life the blessed assurance we have in following the Lord and his faithfulness. And that's what we're going to focus on today is that what we can learn from David. I mean, you ask, how do I follow the Lord? How do I be obedient to the Lord? Well, this right here is our Google right here. This is our Siri. This is our direction right here. This is our map right here. This is leads us and directs us on how we're supposed to live as Christians, as children of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Psalms 21 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Us, we can trust in the Lord that when we let him lead, we will always be assured that he will provide and that he will care for our every need. And it's funny, when Joe mentioned John 10:27, I also had that in my study. And it's very clear that Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And this is what was something we could take comfort in, is that I know them, he says. You know, he doesn't say, well, I know a few of them, I know a selected, I just know this one and that one. He says, I know them, and they follow me. And it's amazing that comfort and that peace we could only find in him. I mean, it's just, and the Lord's faithfulness is just so awesome. I know that everyone can agree to that. And it's, if you go to 1 Kings, this is just a little glimpse of how faithful the Lord is. If we go to 1 Kings 15:35, and I'm going to go through this as fast as I can, and a little nervous right now, but I'm not going to let that stop me. It's just how amazing the Lord is, that us being children of God, we can rely on the Lord's faithfulness and rely on his promises. 1 Kings 15:3-5. And here we're talking about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, right? And It says in verse 3, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Now this right here is just amazing, the Lord's faithfulness. Nevertheless, he says, nevertheless, for David's sake, that the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David wasn't even around anymore. David already had passed. He wasn't even alive anymore. And the Lord remembered David. He remembered the promise that he gave to David. And it's just so awesome that we serve the same God. If we know that the same God that this book here talks about is the same God that we gave our lives to, that we put our trust in, then we have that comfort and that assurance and that peace that he will keep his promise, just as he did to everyone here in this book. If we don't study the Word of God, then I really don't think we could ever be in peace. If we don't learn from his word, if we don't meditate on his word, then how we're going to find any comfort? It's not just a, you know, gimme, 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 you know. I mean, we have to study the word of God, follow the word of God, be obedient to him, and not just go to him when we need him. David was obedient to the Lord and trusted him, so continue to follow no matter what his eyes saw. It's like when he faced Goliath. He saw this big old giant. Everybody else was terrified, but David wasn't, because David knew who had his back. David knew the Lord of hosts was with him. David knew that it wasn't him that was going to fight the battle. It was the Lord that was going to fight the battle. He went out there with just a stone and a sling and defeated Goliath. It's just so awesome. And now in Psalms 23, verse 2, let me go back because I'm going to be going back and forth. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peace. David had that refreshing peace that only comes from the Lord as he faced Goliath and as he faced death on a daily basis. Knowing the Lord of hosts was his shield and buckler, David relied on the Lord no matter how close to death he was. 1 Samuel 17, 45-47. This is what David had told Goliath. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the air, earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Following the Lord, we will be given the same peace and comfort that the Lord will help us regardless of the giants we face. And I'm going to be going through this going from verse to verse, so I'm going to go now to the same, still in Psalms, but 23. I'm going to be breaking down every single verse. There's six verses, so I'm going to be breaking down every single one. I hope you guys don't mind. It says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, I looked up the word restore, and it means the act of replacing in a former state. See, David was given the promise that he would be king over God's people. He had the opportunity to end Saul's life with his own hands, but he chose to trust the Lord and in his timing. David decided to walk in righteousness and trust that the Lord will fulfill his purpose. If David would have taken matters into his own hands, more than likely it would have had terrible repercussions. I say that to say this, that if we try to rush a process after we have put it in the Lord's hands, and that says we don't really trust in the Lord's timing or rely on His promise. You see, Saul was trying to kill David just out of envy. Just out of envy, David never crossed the line, never did anything to harm him. It was just out of just envy and jealousy. That's all it was. And there was a couple of times where David had the opportunity to take Saul's life. I mean, I tried to put myself in that same situation when I was doing this. Like, if I knew some guy was, you know, I ain't done nothing to him or whatever, and the opportunity showed up, because when he was seeking my life, and knows, maybe I would have done beat him to the punch, you know, instead of leaving it in the Lord's hands, trusting the Lord and His promises of protection over me, I probably would have taken matters into my own hands. But not David. David decided just to follow the Lord, no matter how close to death he was, no matter what his eyes saw. He still chose to trust in the Lord. He still chose to follow Him and not after his desire, his own desires, after his own wishes. It's just amazing. And at the end of this, there's a question that I have. And of course, you don't have to answer it, you know, out loud or nothing, but think about it, right? But again, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to come up with the same answer. But in Psalms 23:4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." As I mentioned earlier, David on several occasions had the opportunity to take Saul's life. But instead, in 1 Samuel 23:9, David seeks the Lord's guidance because he knew Saul wanted to kill him. Instead of going after Saul first, he seeks the Lord's guidance instead and flees to the wilderness. In 1 Samuel 24:4-6, in the wilderness of Engedi, David got so close to Saul as to cut off a piece of his robe. But David repented, and in verse 12-15, David still decides to leave matters in the Lord's hand. I, for one, my wife gets on me several times. I bring something to the Lord in prayer, and I don't wait on His timing. I don't. And instead, I take matters into my own hands, and I jump the gun, so to speak, right? And it doesn't come out right. It doesn't come out right, and we leave something in the Lord's hands, and it's getting so close to we're getting terrified that the Lord has not hurried up and answered our prayer exactly or when He wants to, when we want Him to, and we get impatient with Him, and we take matters into our own hands, and boom, it blows up in our face. And I'm one of those. I am one of those, and I don't know, sometimes I feel like a hypocrite, because I go to the Lord with something in prayer and I tell Him I trust Him and that I'm willing to obey Him and leave it in His hands. But then again, when push comes to shove and I see things just getting ugly and I no longer want to wait on Him, you know, that's something that's, it gets scary. But think about it. If you go back in the Bible, it's just thinking about Abraham. Abraham was about to give up his only son, and it was just so scary. I imagine he was so scared, but he trusted in the Lord, and then the Lord gave him a replacement, you know. And I think that's something that should be a learning lesson for all of us. Well, going to verse 5, he says "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." As I was reading the scripture, it displays the Lord's blessings and faithfulness. And not only you, but everyone else around you will see the Lord's goodness and glory in your life. It also displays confidence and trust in the Lord. And we could have that comfort and that peace that the Lord searches the hearts of men, as he did with David, And he knew David followed him faithfully, so much as to describe him as a man after his own heart. He blesses him with the defeat over Goliath with just a single stone and a sling, protects him all the time Saul was chasing him, blessed him, protected him, and anointed him to be king over his people. He made him prosper, made him victorious. The goodness that we receive when we faithfully follow the Lord. David, like I said, when Pastor started reading Samuel, it was just amazing how David, like I said, he knew that he was going to be king, but he never rushed the process. He never rushed the process, never took matters into his own hands. He's like, you know what, I take Saul out the picture, and boom, I'm king. He didn't do that. He relied on the Lord, and it's a scary thing to have a man chasing you for no reason and to wanting to kill you, and that as you counted him as a friend of yours. It's just very, I think, awesome. His patience, David's patience, you know, and his obedience and his trust in the Lord. And, well, we'll continue on to verse 6. This is the last verse, so am I going through it pretty quick, too quick? Okay, well, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's quite evident that the Lord's blessing, goodness, and mercy follow David all the days of his life. And actually, and states it a couple times, 2 Samuel, verse 8, that the Lord preserved David wherever he so went. Well, as I finished this study, like I said, it just came down. Well, I put myself in that position. Am I actually trusting the Lord and following him all the way? Or when things get ugly, I do my own thing and then blows up in my face. And then here I come again, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I should not mistrust you. I should have relied on your promise. I should have depended on you. And what I learned is that no matter what giants we face, what mountains are in front of us, as long as we are faithful and obedient to the Lord and trust in him, we will be given that blessed assurance that we'll be victorious in the battles we face, and not for a single moment will the Lord forsake us, nor abandon us. If we meditate in the Lord's word, we will see a great picture of his faithfulness. And also, what I don't know if you guys realize, if most of y'all are familiar with, you know, Psalms 23, but in verse 6, it's amazing how, and I don't know, I tend to get surprised, you know, in the word, and the Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word is God, and the word was with God, right? And, well, Jesus is the word, right? And I was still amazed that verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 2 Samuel, that's just a great picture of Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 7, he says, verse 12 to 16, he says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. In verse 16, it says, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Taking a look at my life, I remember when I was a kid. And this is how faithful the Lord is. I remember when I was a kid, my grandma, she used to take us to church. She planted the seed. And I remember that I used to say, I'm going to be a pastor one day, I said. And my grandma still has cassettes recorded when we would sing. She had there was a little singer. His name was Joshua. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him. He was a little boy. And he used to sing, you know, gospel music, you know, little Christian, little brother. But he was a kid, but he had these cassettes. And we would sing, and he could hear my voice louder than my brothers and my sister. But it's amazing that the seed was planted as I was a kid, and I wanted to be a pastor when I grew up. But then I went my way. You know, I didn't follow the Lord. You know, of course I wasn't saved back then, but it started since then. Like I said, the seed. And I was doing this last night. I was like, wow, it's amazing that of course, first of all, you know, the glory to the Lord, because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ on the cross, I wouldn't be up here today. And that the Lord would see something in me and have me up here today. It's no little thing that the Lord sees what other people can't see. And last night I asked myself, you know, it's the same thing I ask you guys. Everyone has had their troubles in life. And trust everyone studies the Word of God. You know, it's not just a weekend thing. Seeing everything that we go through, everything that you've been going through, is it worth following the Lord and trusting in His timing? Amen. If we know wholeheartedly that we serve the same God that it speaks about here in this Bible, then yes, it is worth it. To go through everything that we went through, to go through what we're going through right now, and to go through what we're going to go through in the future, having the Lord by our side, it is worth it. And I guess the way I see it, every trial or tribulation that we go through is a learning lesson. And it's not just for our growth, but it's so that others who are going through the same things that we've gone through, we are actually there to help them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But I hope everyone got something out of this. You know, it's just I just wanted to show that it is worth following the Lord and the goodness that we will receive from Him if we're just obedient to Him and follow Him and trust in Him. So, man, that's all I got. And I guess I pray us out. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that no matter how nervous I was to come up here, you still helped me, Father, and you took over, Father. I pray that this was helpful to everyone here, Father. And if there is, Father, a single soul in here that has not trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that today be the day, Father. For tomorrow is never promised, Father. We thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus Christ, and we thank you for getting us here safely, and I just pray that you get us back home safely, Father God, and that you teach us, Father, to be obedient to you, Father. Teach us to follow you, Father. Teach us to trust in you, Father, and fill us up with the desire, Father, and the hunger, Father, to get to know you more, Father. To hunger more for your presence on a daily basis, Father God. And to come to you boldly to your throne of grace, Father, on a daily basis, Father, and not just when things are going bad, Father, to praise you no matter what is in front of us, Father God. I thank you, and may you be given all the glory, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.